Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with the valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. I'm chomping at the bit to start the show. It is, well, not so beautiful here, kind of spring-like. But our first guest today is calling from Indiana, so it's probably way worse there over where the studio is in Indiana. We've got Dr. Kathy Alanovi back. Yay! Welcome to the show, Dr. Kathy.
Hi. Thank you. It's dreary and it's raining, but you know what? Darn it, it's spring. It's supposed to. So bring on the mud. I'm ready.
That is true. It's supposed to be spring. And I see pictures all over the country of people in snow and shoveling and complaining. Enough is enough. I don't blame them. Yeah. You should move somewhere nicer like I did. Anyway, that's not very nice. You know what? I wanted to ask you about this. Okay. In the news, I've got lots of in the news stories today to discuss with you. And in the news, there was this story of a rescued dog from a rescue shelter that was adopted out, and it escaped back to the rescue shelter. Okay, so what does that mean? Should they apprehend the dog? Should they seize it? Should they assume it was a bad home? Does a dog like being at the rescue place better than being at home in the new home? What's going on here, Dr. Kathy?
Oh, shoot, this poor doggy. So, you know, without knowing a lot of what's going on behind and how old the dog is and how many homes it's been through, I can't say 100%, but here's my guess. My guess is maybe the dog was at the shelter for a little while and it started to get comfortable, and then it got out of that, you know, home, quote unquote, went to a new home and felt out of its element. And, you know, sometimes people think, oh, it'll just take time and don't do active things to involve the dog in the family and get the dog comfortable. Or maybe, you know, something scared the dog and the dog said, I'm going back to where I'm comfortable. I'm out of here. but, you know.
Yeah, I have the same feeling. I don't think it necessarily means they're a bad family. It doesn't, you know, the fact, and this dog may have been more determined than most to escape. So, you know, I think they have to look into the history of it before they decide. Because I've got a letter here from a caller or an emailer who wanted to know, like, shouldn't the shelter just reclaim this pet? Obviously, these people aren't careful enough. And they probably, you know, the caller was assuming after hearing the story in the news that, you know, the home was not a good home. I mean, they shouldn't have lost the dog.
But it's
hard to know a dog's potential. I have this problem a little bit with standard poodles because they're very, very tall jumpers. And so a person will buy a puppy from me and take it home and they'll say, well, is my 6-foot fence going to cut it? And I'll say, no, it's not. You need to go higher. And, you know, it's hard to believe when you're looking at your little puppy. And every other day, until the day the dog jumps the fence, the person could say, well, he never jumped it before. That's right.
Right.
But one day, there's going to be a squirrel on the top of that fence, and that puppy poodle is going to go flying over without even realizing it. And then he'll know he can do it. And some of this is just, you know, there's always a first. So maybe they had the dog. It said in the article that I was reading that they had the dog for over a month at the new adopted home. So he didn't escape for a whole month. Maybe there was a thunderstorm that spooked him, or maybe he's just really confused. I don't think it necessarily means they're a bad home. I agree with you on that one.
Well, I have a client who adopted a dog, had it 2 or 3 days, and this dog was super scared, really shy. He took his dog for a walk, brought his dog in the house, was unclipping the leash and hadn't closed the door all the way, and the dog snuck out and ran away.
Oh, that's sad.
Devastation. And what stuff happens. So until we know more, I'm with you. I don't necessarily think the home is bad. but they probably should be evaluated and figure it out.
Yeah, yeah, because you need to know how he's getting out, too, and why.
Right, absolutely.
There was, since you're talking about escapes, there was also in the news a dog, a mutt, and I saw him on video. I saw him on the news today. He's medium-sized, and I don't know what he is, a terrier cross, maybe chihuahua in there. I mean, he's really not over 20 pounds. So a smallish dog, 20 pounds, 25 pounds. Anyway, he was put in a backyard in Texas, and he escaped. He got lost, and he showed up in Ohio. How
oh
the
my
heck?
Goodness.
That's a, nobody knows, right? What do you think happened with this mystery dog?
I don't know. Maybe he does got stowing away on train cars like the hobos from the movies. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Or there used to be a Canadian show about a dog called The Littlest Hobo, and he used to do that. He used to, you know, jump in the back trucks loaded up with stuff and trains and different things and get around the country. He'd go all across the country helping people. It was the... It's actually still on.
So cute.
It's a lovely show, but my daughter won't let me watch it because every week at the end of the show, after he saves the human or does the really good deed for the wolf mama with her cubs or whatever he does, he moseys on and she can't handle it. It's just too emotional that he leaves. She just thinks that's so upsetting. So, you know, he's not allowed to just disappear and go off to another family. That's just not on for my little girl. But, well, I think we only have a couple minutes left. We have a weird cat question, behavior question. And in the last half of the show, we have Dusty Rainbolt, who's a cat behavioralist. So I'm going to ask her as well. But I'm going to ask you, too, because it's one of those questions. I often get these questions that are sort of hybrid. You know, a veterinary professional could answer the medical part of the question, and I need a trainer for the training part, and it's definitely one in the middle. So I'm going to tell you that one. So to the guy who sent that in about because he sent it in last night about he wanted to hear the show today, and I told him how to listen. So he's probably out there listening with his little kitten. But he really wanted us to talk about it today, and he's definitely... He definitely wants to fix it, so we'll help him a little bit here.
Okay.
Also on the news today, we only have a couple minutes left right now, but I'll tell you, I was looking online, and the Huffington Post has this kind of video news feed, and I was watching the interviewer and the sidekick talking a little bit, and they talked about unanticipated consequences. Apparently, the DEA is warning people that an unanticipated consequence of legalizing marijuana is that the marijuana poisoning accidentally of pets has gone way up in those states. Is that even true?
Well, yeah, they can get a hold of it. And define marijuana poisoning. How much do they have to ingest? Certainly for a dog, it doesn't take as much, but for the most part, it kind of makes them loopy and, well... Don't. it does take a lot, and they can get pretty sick from it. But I mean, common sense, people. For those when they had to pay for it and hide it, why don't you keep it up out of your dog's reach? Just as when you can pay for it and don't have to hide it. Yeah, it's a common sense issue, don't you think?
Yeah, even if it's legal, it's not a table ornament. Okay, we're coming back in 30 seconds. We got to go to break, and we'll be back with Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. It's Deb Wolf, your host from Camp Good Dog up here in Canada, and I'm talking with Dr. Kathy Alanovi once again. So we'll be back in just a bit. Stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk.
And anytime you're near.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial. No sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Hello, you're back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, with your host, Deb Wolf, and I'm talking to Dr. Kathy Alanovi, and this thing we were talking about just before the break about pets accidentally ingesting marijuana or brownies with marijuana, this kind of thing, and the sidekick on this Huffington Post show was saying his beagle, when he was a kid, a teenager, got into his brother's pot. And a three-legged beagle, because it only had three legs, ingested an ounce and was okay. That sounded alarming to me. Is that like way,
like a lot,
way dangerous? Yeah. It does. It sounds like a complete and total fabrication to me, because I think that would kill the dog.
No, it takes an awful lot. Don't you think it takes an awful lot? Okay, I haven't looked up the lethal dose of marijuana. But I'm pretty sure that it takes an awful lot, and especially if they eat it, they don't get as much of the happy juice as if you smoke it. The other thing that's cool, this is fun. So fun, couple of fun facts. There are some companies that are making medical marijuana for small animals now, dogs and cats, happy pills. But the even more fun thing to me is that the seeds, where obviously you grow it, right, but there's a very high concentration of the active component, have been used for centuries in traditional Chinese medicine. It helps treat pain. So,
well, it makes sense to me, and I've had vets on the air before who've talked about prescribing pot for pets and with certain conditions like chemotherapy and different aches and pains and chronic illnesses where they're just not going to get any better, and this is the only relief. But I do think there's a danger when you mix it with baked goods, because then an animal's really going to want it. But the same thing's true for the chocolate brownies. Why would you leave brownies out? This sort of a thing. I think a lot of this is just fear-mongering and attention-getting, and because pot's in the news because some states changed their policies and, the Canadian government's all up in arms over it, and there's something in the courts this week with an injunction. So it's all in the news, so I think everybody just wants to talk about it. I don't think there really is a huge, epidemic of pets. I mean, pot's expensive, too. Who's leaving out vast quantities for their pets to ingest? That's like,
I haven't tasted it lately, but even if it's legal, it still can't be cheap because they tax the heck out of that. Let's not leave it laying around. Let's keep it out of the way for our dogs and our cats. And, if you're going to give it to your dog and your cat, then have your vet help you figure out what's the right dose. If your dog needs it, shoot, the three-legged beagle, maybe he needed it if he just had an amputation.
He was self-medicating for his new amputation. Yeah, I think that's what happened. Okay, so I've got this email to read you. It's a cat question, but it kind of pertains to a surgery. So here's the deal, or a procedure anyway. When I pet my cat, he doesn't like his rear end touched. When he was a kitten, he had his anal sac checked by a male vet. I am a male owner, but this only seems to be males. When he's with female people, he has he's fine. But any man, he gets all, and I'm just like, he, this is his letter. He says he growls and he fusses and he doesn't let anybody. And there's a whole description of all this. But basically he's saying, can he remember? Is that what it is? And does he remember that trauma and link it to men? And why would that happen? Why wouldn't he be scared of everyone touching his bum or his rear? And why just men? So that's kind of interesting.
That's a great question. And you've heard of the white coat syndrome.
Yes.
So for, right, some people take, or some animals, some anybody looks at someone in a white coat and generalizes that everybody in white coats are bad. But some are not that broad in their generalization. Some will go, okay, men in white coats. Some dogs chase every single delivery driver who comes to the house, and some dogs chase only the UPS truck. Do they know the difference? Well, obviously, they have to know a difference. I think some people, well, how many times have you heard, well, that's just a stupid animal. Well, that was just a stupid person who said that, because they don't realize that animals have memories, are able to form associations, and they just do it differently than we do. So again,
well,
it's
an extra level of caution, right? The dog is saying, okay, I learned that big angry men are scary, or one big angry man was scary, so now I'm afraid or tense around all big angry men. And the person who says he's stupid says, that's not the guy. No, I know it's not the guy, but it could be, is what the dog's thinking. Better safe than sorry. So it's just a little more caution, right?
Poor little kitty's little tiny butthole. I mean, I feel bad, and my hands are much smaller than a man's hands if I have to do something on the back end, like check anal glands. And oh my goodness, those little 5-pound little white dogs. I put my finger in that butthole, my finger's bigger than their poop. So to imagine a man who has hands 2 to 3 times bigger than me in a little kitty butthole, yeah, I can imagine that cat would form some kind of associations. And so then what do you
do? But what do you think that the owner, because the owner was in the room while the procedure was done, does the cat think the owner did it to him? Or does the cat think, just watch out for all men? Like, I'm not really sure why. I guess you're saying he's just got a broader definition of it. Any man touching the bum could be the anal sac issue, is what the cat thinks. Yeah.
It could be, and that cat's not playing that game ever again, and I can't say I blame him.
Well, it says here he's always the same kitten has always been from the very beginning. There's a little girl that picks him up and carries him around, and she can do anything she wants to him. So he obviously doesn't associate her with medical treatments.
Right.
I wonder, you know what, when we come back after the break, maybe you can tell me and my listeners how they can help their animals not be so traumatized. You know, every cat or dog that needs a procedure that's unpleasant still has to go through with it. They still have to have their infected ear cleaned or their anal sac drained or whatever it is. But maybe we can make it so it's not this huge fear that kind of carries on. Is that possible? Is there a way to make it better?
Sure. You bet. And I bet you're going to be able to give a whole bunch more good suggestions in addition to the few ideas I have. So you bet we can talk about that.
Okay. Yeah, because there's something I wanted to know. When I breed standard poodles, I don't dock tails. But when I purchase a standard poodle for my breeding stock, they're usually already docked. And one of my dogs was docked at 3 days old and very short. Like, I think too short. The tail was docked too short. But the entire litter, the lady who bred them reported to me, the entire litter seemed to be carsick for the longest time. And now all of them aren't. Now, the one I have is not carsick. Right away, I started taking him on short trips to parks and making it happy and making it fun so he wouldn't think that the car meant tail docking, you know, pain, amputation. But I can't find anything in any book that says a puppy could even remember from 3 days old. They all seem to think that's just early enough. So I want to ask you about that.
That's the assumption, but I, you're still creating pain. Most of the time, there's no local anesthesia. There's no pain medication. The body remembers. The nervous system gets cut. You cut the tail. The spinal cord goes out into the tail, or the nerves go out into the tail. You cut them. The body remembers. Somehow, it's going to remember.
I think a lot of times owners don't realize that these things that are classified as cosmetic, like docking and ear cropping and Dobermans, are not that minor. They're not like getting your ears pierced as a human.
No, they're not my. The ear docking, the cropping especially. Wow, that's
okay,
amazing.
We'll be back after the break to talk more about this on Smart Animal Talk.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And I love you.
And you know that.
You know
I really do.
I really do.
I'm hungry. Can't wait. I'm hungry. Lick the plate. I'm hungry. Tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry.
Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Hello, you're back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. With me, your host, Deb Wolf, and with me today is Dr. Kathy Alanovi. And we were talking about a whole bunch of things like docking and cropping and traumatic vet visits. So, Dr. Kathy, how serious and traumatic is this? Like you're saying, you're amputating a section of the spine, right? Just to make a dog look better? People would argue it's so they don't bash it and split it open. And I have had a dog do that. But the dog who did that was a golden retriever, and she wouldn't have had her tail docked anyway. The standard poodles I have grow beautiful curved tails that don't bang into anything. So I guess it depends on the dog, does it, or not really?
Oh, who knows? Who knows? How many Rottweilers have you seen with tails? How many Yorkies? They don't have them to see what they would look like if they had them.
I've seen Rotties with them. And when they leave their tail intact, it's massive. It's almost like a Labrador Retriever tail, but twice the girth. It's massive.
Wow, that's a tail. But very few of them get happy tail. You know, that smacking your tail against the wall thing. Very few of them get that. So then they say that it's, well, from their, you know, their job they used to have so that they wouldn't have their tail stepped on like cattle dogs, so they don't get them stepped on by the cattle or the horses. Why a Yorkshire Terrier needs its tail docked, I'm not 100% sure.
It's a hardworking Yorkshire Terrier the size of a shoe.
That's right.
With a really big job to look cute.
Bonbon eating Yorkies. That's right. Need their tails docked.
So if someone came to you with a litter of Yorkies and wanted you to dock the tails, would you do it?
Oh, it's a heavy sigh, isn't it? I don't do ears. I do tails, and it's a heavy sigh. Because if I don't... Gosh darn it. You know, because if I don't do it, then the next guy will, and at least I use the laser, and I do use local anesthesia.
Do you try and talk them out of it?
No, because they're going to go somewhere else. But I do talk to them about the pluses and minuses with it. And now that you told me the car sickness thing, boy, that's just more something else to think about. Absolutely.
Yeah, because it's an interesting, you know, symptom. Like, why else would they all seem they're panting and vomiting and spitting, and now none of them have it? Now that enough time's gone by that they no longer think the car equals the vet, they're all good. They're four-year-old dogs now, five-year-old dogs.
Wow.
And they're all good. Every single one of them isn't car sick. And it struck me as odd because both parents weren't. You know, so what's with this litter? But 3 days old, that's a long memory. It's a lot. What about the ears? Okay, why don't you do the ears?
That, because it's not done at 3 days old. That's done at 3 to 4 months old. And the ears, just lots more nerves there. It's the same thing as having your male dog castrated. If you get him done at 3 or 4 months of age, his body hardly even knows that he has testicles. It's a minor surgery, but, you know, and this is from the surgical perspective, okay? Nothing to do with what's right about them growing big or anything like that. Just surgically, it's piece of cake surgery when they have tiny little gonads and you just take them out of this tiny little hole. But an adult 2-year-old male comes in, giant testicles, they bleed, they swell. His scrotum will fill up with blood, and then that goes back down, and because there's friction and rubbing, and no matter how well you tie off the surgery, these boys have some pain. So this is ear cropping to me. You're doing this as an older dog. The ears have formed, which is why you can't do it as a 3-day-old puppy, because the ears are still growing. And it's major. You're cutting off a third of the outside of this dog's ear. Why don't you cut off a third of your own ear and, you know, stitch it up pretty and see how we like it and wrap it around the tampon and make it stand up straight.
I remember when I was a girl at about age 11 or so, there was a series of sisters in my neighborhood who did have their ears pinned and tucked and made smaller. But how bizarre to do that to your kid just because he or she has big ears that stick out. And how bizarre to do that to your dog just for looks. I mean, it's really kind of odd. Really odd. I always feel sorry for those Dobies with the little sort of casted bandages and things sticking up. And it's got to change their attitude, right?
It has to. How about the pit bulls who have wonderful ears and they're cut off to this tiny little sliver close to their head and tell me you don't fight your dog? Why else would you cut your pity's ears that short, you know? Please, they've got a block head. He doesn't need to look mean. He's a tough guy, full of muscles. They look great with big ears.
So if people have to do something, right, not docking, not cropping, not cosmetics, real things, something that they know their dog's going to have a hard time with or their cat, how can they make it easier so the dog understands, hey, that was just that day. It's not you. It's not the car. It's not even the vet. How do they diffuse it so the dog or cat is not so traumatized?
Kisses, treats during the treatment, treats after, so like a heartworm test or toenail trim, something like that, or the dreaded vaccines. Kisses, cookies, you can give rescue remedy ahead of time, during and afterwards, some peace and calming essential oils. Anything that's positive and reinforcing for the dog. And instead of going, when the needle comes out, because that's going to program your dog or your cat to think, instead go, okay, it's time for a little prick, and now we're going to get a cookie. And so,
now, what if your dog, and I have this a lot with dogs, when they're stressed, a lot of dogs won't take a cookie. They'll just take it and spit it out, or they won't even take it. So, no, really, they won't.
How about some massage, then, and take the cookie home?
You know what? I bet the dogs and cats aren't stressed when they see you, because you sound surprised at that. Most of my breeding stock will not take a cookie at the vet, even when the lady says, would you like a treat? And she goes and gets the jar, and they just look at her like, no, thanks. I'll eat at home. You know, like they're just not interested. But they're not going, you know,
put on that?
exactly.
Okay.
I think lots of short trips, maybe go to your vet when you don't have an appointment, hang out there for 5 minutes and leave again. So your dog and cat get used to the fact that it's not so scary there.
Just get your dog weighed and go back home. I tell people that all the time. You can come in and check your dog's weight anytime you want to.
Mm-hmm. That's a good, simple thing. Although getting a St. Bernard to stand on a scale is a tricky thing because they have this breed instinct not to avoid things that could break if they stand on them, right? So you can't get them to go over subway grates, bridges. There's a lot of trouble with St. Bernards and passing through things. But that's a hard one, getting them on the scale. Oh, we're running out of time, Dr. Kathy. Do you want to let people know a little bit about yourself before we have to go, where they can reach you?
You can find me at drkathyvet.com. drkathyvet.com. I'm an integrative practitioner in scenic Indiana, and I'd love to hear from you.
Okay, we only have a minute left, but I do want to ask you, the people who breed dogs, when their stud is no longer being used at 9 or 10 years old, do you recommend they don't neuter it or they do neuter him?
I see no point in neutering him at that age. The only time I look at it for those older males is if they get swellings, masses, tumors in the region around the butt. 70%
right.
of those are cured by castration, and so just wait until it's needed, and a lot of the boys never need it.
Nice. Like okay. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Kathy.
Thank you.
We've had a great show. We'll be back in a minute with Dusty Rainbow. We're going to ask her that cat question. The one about the kitten who's afraid of men. And we'll talk to her more on cat topics. So thanks very much, Dr. Kathy. Stay tuned, everybody, to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Has your life gone to the dogs? Are you at your wit's end? We can help. At America's Canine Academy, our specialists can put an end to the mutt mayhem and magically stop the destructive behaviors that your crazed canine has developed. We offer step-by-step guidance and make-sense techniques that will turn your problem dog into a calm, stable, and well-behaved companion. And we can even do it all by phone. Even from afar, we can assess a dog-gone-wrong situation and help you recapture your sanity. Call 877-WE-WHISPER, americascanineacademy.net, where dog whisperers are trained.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio with Deb Wolf. And I'm talking to Dusty Rainbow. So good to talk to you, Dusty.
Well, it's great to be here, and hi to everybody.
It's been a while since we talked. I don't even know how long, but we've been doing this for years and years, you and I, dancing together on radio.
There you go, from north to south. There. So, yeah.
I'm not sure if the first time I interviewed you was about ghosts or pet ghosts, or if it was about cat wrangling. It was one of the two, cat wrangling made easy or ghost cats. I don't know which came first. Cat wrangling made easy.
Cat wrangling, no, ghost cats came first, and then about 6 months later we did cat wrangling. So it could have been either one, and it's still a fun subject.
Well, cat wrangling made easy. I have two emails for you. The first is an easy one. Well, maybe easy. Maybe it's unsolvable. She thinks it's unsolvable. This lady has many cats. She has three of her own. She has a basement tenant with a cat or two. It's hard to say. So she keeps saying there's some that come and go, and then there's her own. And they're all getting fat. And she says, how do you possibly control weight and diet when you have multiple cats and free feeders? And I guess the answer is, you don't. What do you think, Justy?
Well, okay, that is a tough one because it really is better if you can feed specific times and monitor specific amounts. But, you know, in some multi-cat situations, that's simply not an option. Now, one thing I always promote is you feed for the cat with the greatest need. And if you have like a senior cat that needs to be fed many times a day, well, you need to address that. If you have a kitten who needs high protein, unfortunately, you have to feed for that. Or what you can do is if you have kittens or cats with special needs, you can feed them separately multiple times a day and then allow the other ones to free feed a lower calorie diet.
Well, yeah, her letter goes on to talk about how one of her cats is quite older and obese, and one of her cats is young, neurotic, and thin. So I think part of the solution might be if there's a set time, like say the neurotic cat always hides in the bedroom or always hides in the office or wherever it is that it hides, that may be the time she closes the door and pulls out a meal that the others don't have. So it's not a question necessarily of denying the others or changing anything for the others. But if you've got something juicy and fattening that you want to give to somebody, make sure it's not a general delivery. But would it, you know, I'm thinking, when that neurotic cat comes out of the room smelling like the goodies, is he going to get beat up?
No, I don't think so. They might be curious, but... I would give him time to clean up, one of the reasons why cat spit doesn't smell is because they use that to conceal the smell of food with the predators around. But the other thing I would do is if you have all these fat cats, I'm sorry, but dry food is not the way to go because it contains a lot of carbohydrates that canned food doesn't. It has to.
Okay, so they should switch to canned and feed it meals, ideally.
Yeah, ideally, that's what they should do. And the other thing is the obese cats really need to get exercise. And I know how hard it is when you have a fat cat and maybe their joints are a little sore or they, you know, don't have a whole lot of energy because they're hauling around all that bulk. But there are some wonderful toys out there. And you don't want to, when you play with them, like a feather on a string, can I say what my favorite is?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. The Bird, it's made by go-cat.com, or you can buy it at Petco. That is the most wonderful toy because it sounds like, when you run it through the air, it sounds like beating wings. And no cat, I've never heard of a cat that could resist it. But put out another one, and I can't remember the name of it, but it's a little mousy thing, and you can run it along the ground. You don't want that obese cat to be jumping up and down and stressing those old joints. So if he can run along the ground, then he can get a little bit of exercise. Just a couple of minutes at first, but ideally 10 minutes twice a day.
And I want to ask you about all those toys that are designed to work when the human's not around. you know, for dogs, they have them too. And I don't really, I think that humans should throw the ball for their dog more and go running with their dog more and play with their dog more and get out with their dog. I don't think that the goal of having an animal is to have it entertain itself. But what do you think about these things where you leave the house and the ball goes round and round and round under the sheet or something to design that you don't have to be there?
Well, I think that they are wonderful if you work and your cat has nothing to do during the day. But there are other things you can do that will, your cat really needs enrichment if you're not going to be around. But one of my favorite stay busy toys are these treat balls. I guess now they're called food balls. In the beginning, they only handled cat treats, but now you actually use them to feed. And so the cat has to push it around or take its paw and pull a piece of kibble. Now, it's kibble, but, you know, if they're working for it, they're not just sitting there scarfing it down, eating out of a trough. But, you know, they'll they'll take one bite and eat it, and it might take them 3 minutes to eat a piece of kibble. So, it prolongs the amount of time that it takes to digest. And that way they actually use up more calories, and it's giving them something to do, and they're getting a little bit of exercise. So it's really a win-win.
Yeah, they make them for dogs, too. I think in a multi-dog household, you might have battles over them. But I think in a multi-cat household, you'd be okay. As long as you had enough balls for every cat to have one, they might play switch a little bit, but I don't think they'd fight over it. Do you think conflict would be a problem?
Not if you have several of them. I mean, it's like any multi-cat situation. If you have five cats, you don't put five bowls out side by side. You put bowls in one side of the room, another side of the room, and then maybe even in a different room so that nobody can guard all of them. So if you have five cats and they have, you know, three, four balls, they're probably not all going to want to eat at one time. So they kick it around. But one thing you do need to do is make sure that the cat understands how to do it. Because there are some kitties that are not Einsteins. So you don't want them to starve assuming that they're going to make it work.
Well, we have to go to break pretty soon. But when we come back, I want you to tell us how we do that. If you have a stupid cat and you hand it this treat ball and it doesn't seem to be making any progress, most dogs will figure it out right away and they'll be right into it. But maybe you have a stupid dog. If you have a stupid cat that just doesn't seem to get it, what do you do? And we're also going to talk about orphan kittens and this email that came in about the kitten who doesn't like his bum touched. So stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We'll be back just talking to the cat wrangler, Dusty Rainbolt. Stay tuned.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And I love you.
And you know that
I really do.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Our dogs are part of our family, an integral part of our lives, providing comfort, exercise, and companionship. All too often, however, this relationship is tested through dog naughtiness and general poor behavior. Our dog does not come when called, digs the garden, and many other issues that create frustration and a break in the relationship we seek. You love him, but you don't like him. Today's e-callers remote trainers have been developed to help you train your dog and overcome these issues that can result in separation from the family and worse. E-caller technology has been developed to help the everyday dog owner. Callers that set limit on the levels of stimulation and therefore limiting mistakes. If you seek a training aid that will assist you overcome the unwanted issues, e-collar technology products have developed dog training technology for the modern world that uses the lowest levels of distractive stimulus to improve behavior and reduce stress. www.ecollar.com. That's www.ecollar.com.
Attention all pet lovers. Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust mites and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's PAWSNSILK.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio with Deb Wolf, and we were just talking, okay, if your cat is that dumb, Dr. Kathy, it's Dr. Kathy Allen over here, if your cat's so dumb that you give him one of these treat toys that's designed for cats, stuffed with his favorite thing in it, and he can't figure it out, okay, what do you do?
Well, actually, it's Dusty. And
oh, I'm sorry. Oh, my gosh,
okay,
Dusty.
No problem.
Dusty,
no problem.
You know what? I had Dr. Kathy on for the first half of the show, and I just got a little bit confused. I hope they can edit that out. Because, Dusty, you and I have been talking for so long. So long. What, 15 years? I should get it right by now. I'm so sorry, Dusty.
Not a problem.
And you know what? I asked you the same question earlier in the show because I wanted the medical part of it, and I told her I was going to ask you the behavioral part of it. So that's why I'm thinking about Dusty. Sorry about that.
No problem. But you know what? The truth is, I mean, some cats, it may not be that they're necessarily dumb, but if you have an older cat that isn't quite as clear thinking or not as inspired by food, then the answer is you just give up on the treat ball and you feed them separately at, you know, specific times. And, you know, I mean, you can't force an animal to do something like that that they just don't want to. I mean, you can.
Yeah, you know what? There's some dogs who just aren't into fetch, and the owners are so disappointed. And there's other dogs who are fetchaholics, and their owners don't want to throw. So you kind of have to figure out what your animal's into when you're motivating it. And probably a fat cat who isn't interested in a treat toy might be motivated by something else, but what would that be?
Well, you know, some are motivated by, you know, the different feather toys. I mean, some cats.
So it's prey. You know, once
prey.
Years and years ago, you told me something, and I it just stuck in my head. I've remembered it forever, and it was that cats don't need a playmate; they need a prey mate.
Exactly.
And that's just like, it's so clear. So any toy you get for a cat that looks cute, like something you'd give to a baby and can't be stalked, chased, and killed is useless, really.
Pretty much. You know, you really need to be the prey, and you need to act like the prey. Prey doesn't just run around or fly all the time. It'll scurry or it'll fly, and then it'll stop on a branch, and then it'll fly and then it'll stop, or it'll scurry and stop. They don't do that.
They're unpredictable. And if you fly at a cat, as it, you know, prey, mice don't chase cats. Birds don't chase cats. So if you keep taking the toy and throwing it in his face, I see kids doing this.
Yes,
they don't realize that the cat wants to be the chaser. He doesn't want to be chased by the toy. He wants to chase the toy.
Exactly. And they're unpredictable. And, you know, 10 minutes, if you have a younger cat that's got a lot of energy or you're trying to build up the energy, 10 minutes twice a day is awesome. You're going to have, it's going to be great cardiovascular workout. But once you get done, you feed the cat because there is a pattern. There is hunt, kill, eat, groom, sleep. So if you have cats that bother you when you go to bed, then you play with them very vigorously before you go to bed and feed them. And their natural pattern will be to eat, groom, and then go to sleep.
Earlier in the show, we talked about resource guarding. So before we move on to the email, I want to talk about that. And I also want to make sure we don't forget to talk about decline because we didn't yet. But resource guarding, I think with dogs, everybody knows a dog will fight over his food dish. Everybody knows that. Most dogs will. That's why you don't leave the dishes on the floor when kids come around or guest pets are around. That's why free feeding really isn't good if your dog's aggressive. They'll fight over food. They don't really fight over poop. They don't fight over where to poop. No dog goes up to another good dog and says, get away from my tree. I want to pee there. No, they take turns. They have no problem with that. But cats are not the same, right? So when you talk about resource guarding, the first thing I think of, the number one thing my cats would fight over is the bathroom. What do you think about that, Dusty? Is that true or is that just in my house?
Oh, no. The bathroom is a resource just like the food is, just like you are. You're a resource.
Right.
But so what you do is you really need to have one litter box per cat plus one extra. And you don't want to put them all in one place because that's if you have a cat that does resource guard or bully or whatever, they will... That's such a blessing to them because they can guard all the boxes at one time. So you like the food. You put it in different places so nobody can keep the other cats away all the time. I mean, if you have three cats and four boxes, then he can't guard all four. If you have two cats and three boxes, the more assertive cat can't bully the other kitty at all times. In all boxes. So that's
okay.
That's
I totally get it. I mean, any lady who's gone to a sporting event and stood in the hallway waiting for the washrooms while the men zip in and out knows that you need enough washrooms. You need enough litter boxes. Dusty, we are quickly running out of time. So I want to ask you, why when I pet my cat, does he not like his rear end petted? When he was a kitten, he had his anal sacs checked by a male vet, and I am a male owner. It only seems to be with males, not females, that he has this reaction. What can I do?
Well, you know, cats never forget. People think that cats have memories of microseconds, but I will tell you, I have a cat named Cosmo, and when he was a kitten, I used cheap nail cutters on him, and I didn't quick him, but I pinched him with the clippers. And he is 14, and to this day, he does not like to have his nails clipped. What I would do is I would pet him around the tail area and then give him a treat. And then pet him, you know, later on and give him a treat. And he only gets this particular treat, whatever he is obsessive about, whether it's the dried tuna flakes or if it's a little taste of tuna or if it's a turkey or baby food or whatever, you know, he only gets that when you touch his tail. And
okay, Dusty, you know what? We're quickly running out of time,
Oh, dear.
So I just want to make sure docking and cropping are not the same as declawing, right? I just want to make sure we clarify here that if anybody out there's thinking it's a cosmetic thing to declaw your cat and you're making the appointment, please don't do it. Dusty,
no,
what have you got to tell them?
It is an amputation. You are literally amputating the toe at the knuckle, and it is a painful procedure, and there are so many things you can do that can alleviate a lot of these problems. I would never, unless it's absolutely a matter of life and death. And, you know, there are soft paws, which is a nail cap that you can have put on.
Oh, Dusty, we've run out of time.
Oh,
we've been talking
no.
to Dusty Rainbolt. Can you tell them how they can find you online, Dusty?
Absolutely. They can go to DustyCatRider.com.
And I want to definitely book you again because I want to talk about orphan kittens and I want to go more on the declaw topic, and there's always cats in the news. So I hope we can have you on again on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. If you're looking for more Dusty Rainbolt, you know where to find her. Thank you, Dusty.
I'm looking forward to the next time. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's been great. Thanks so much for joining me today. All right, everybody. It's been a really fast show today. It went so quickly with Dr. Kathy and now Dusty Rainbolt. We'll have Dusty on again. Send me your cat questions. She knows how to deal with cats to make them peaceful and get along in your house. Send me your cat questions and I'll ask them to Dusty next time she's on the air. Until next week, be good to your animals. From Smart Animal Talk.